time. I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord in this place, I tell you, praise God, praise God. It's priceless, people. It's priceless. Priceless. I do want to apologize for one thing to you. I know the words on one of the songs didn't come up. It wasn't right, whatever. I apologize for that. I mean, things happen sometimes. So, but you just want the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Amen. Amen. Before I get started, so let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before you. Saying, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. I know I've related this story to you, but I want to relay it again. There were two girls that had bought tickets to a concert. Not a godly concert, either. It was a downright, if you want to say, evil concert. You know, not giving praise to God at all or nothing. But these two girls bought tickets and they went to the concert, and as they were there, you know how they hand some people ticket special passes to go after the concert to meet, you know, the singers and players backstage. Back then, there's only certain people that can go with these passes. Well, these two girls, for some reason, were handed these passes. And so after the concert, you know, they're so excited, you know, about being able to go backstage and meet these men and women personally and to be close to them and to be able to talk with them and stuff. Well, you all know that a lot of times when they go backstage back there like that, there's not good stuff happening. Okay, can I paint that picture to you?
No.
Okay, not good things are happening. Not all of them, but this was one of them. And so they have their passes and they get up to this lady, you know, and they want the first girl gives her pass, you know, to the lady, and she says, well, you can go in. And so the other girl gives her pass, and the lady looks at her and says, you can't go in. And so the girl says, well, why can't I go in? And, you know, she was kind of getting a little boisterous with the lady because she has this special pass to be able to go in. And so the lady said, because you are a Christian. And the girl looks at the lady and says, I am not a Christian. I am not a Christian. And the lady looks at her and says, your parents are. Your parents are. You're a Christian. And so they let her in. What I'm getting to you is this, people. Prayer changes things. Prayer protects when we don't even think that is protected. You know, we often think, well, you know, our kids, and this lady saw the blood of Jesus and could not override the blood, what we just sang about. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than any wicked evil that's out there. Your prayers are so effective because you're looking, you're denying yourself, you're looking to the cross of Calvary, you're looking to Jesus, and as you look to Jesus, you get to the Father. And if the blood that the Father looks at that makes it accessible to us to be able to walk into that throne room and make our petitions to the Father. And you might say, well, this girl wasn't a Christian, but her parents were, and it affected her. Let me tell you, your prayers, as you pray for your children, it may not look like, and they may even deny that they're Christians, but the enemy knows that you're praying for them. And he knows your prayers are effective. And it is penetrating the evil that is out there. That God is moving on your behalf. That the power of God is moving. And as you pray and as you seek God, the power of God is moving. It may look like a hopeless case. Can you imagine that girl's parents, when they heard that she was going, probably of age, can go, you know, there are certain restrictions you can't do anymore. They started praying, saying, Father, move. Father, help. Father, do something. They're pleading their case, people. Look, every morning, every evening, during the day, plead your case before your God. And let me tell you, God is on the verge of moving like we've never seen him move before. Not because he doesn't want to move, not because he didn't have the ability to move or the capacity to move, but he's getting us in the right place to move. He's getting us in the right place of having a broken and contrite heart before him, broken before our God. Then God can use him. Look at Moses, the great deliverer. God couldn't use him at the beginning of the 40 years. What did he do? He killed an Egyptian and he buried him in sand. You know, sand washes away or blows away. And God had to change him. Change that man for over 40 years, and he came back a man of God. Not that he wasn't the man of God before, but God had to implement certain areas or implement certain things in his heart and mind to make him into the great deliverer that God wanted him to be. The power of God, let me tell you, don't ever give up on praying for your spouse, yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and anyone else in your family, and even the whole area that we live in. Don't ever give up. Because you have the key of destroying the enemy's evil that comes upon a people. You have the ability. You're the one that holds up the cross of Calvary. And people look to it. You're declaring that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That Jesus is the only way. That he is the King. He is your Lord. He is your God. Raise it up, the banner of righteousness. Raise up the banner of the cross of Calvary. Because it's the only hope for this dying world. The only hope. The only, not just one hope, but the only hope of what God can do upon this place. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, please. Oh, I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Wow. I tell you, it's just good. Just good. Acts chapter 6. Starting in verse 2. It says this. Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. See, the church of God was growing so much and people had a lot of needs. But the 12 needed to stay in the word and prayer. And so they needed help. They needed help. Just like all pastors need help to get the work of the ministry done. All pastors need help for people to clean things, to vacuum floors, to do all kinds of, there's all kinds of stuff that need to be done. But we need help. Wherefore, brethren, look at verse 3. Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now look, they would say, we need help, find men full of the Holy Spirit first and of wisdom. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's an amazing thing. It says this again, and talking about the 12, but it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What is the first thing he mentions? Prayer. Prayer. People. God has called each and every one of you to whatever it is that he's called you to do. Every one of us has the missions of telling people about the Lord. Every one of us. Because we all see people that don't know God. We all see people that have no hope. God, we all have the same opportunity in that perspective of sharing the gospel with people. So we're all called. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God has all given basic ministry to each and every one of us that we share. But it says that we are to have prayer is number one. Not the word of the ministry. Now, as far as me, God has called me to pastor a church. Praise God. That is not my first priority to minister the word of God. My first priority is to minister unto my God in prayer.
Amen.
First priority for me and first priority for you is to pray to God every day. And not just pray just for yourself, but to pray against the evils of this world, to pray for your family, to pray for your church, to pray for your pastors, to pray for your mothers and your fathers and your children and your grandchildren, to pray for the things that God puts upon your heart that He would want you to do. God has specific things that He's called you to accomplish. Might say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, let me tell you, start praying and find out what it is. God did not call any of us, not one of us, to stay in our homes and do nothing. God has called every one of us for a specific purpose. And it might be, God talks about helpers, God talks about intercessors, God talks about all kinds of things in the Word of God for the church to function and to be strong in the Word of God. But we need to have a continuous prayer life that we come together or individually and we lift up our Father through the name of Jesus, that we lift Him up and praise Him and honor Him so the rocks don't cry out, so the mountains don't cry out, but God's holy people will cry out to Him and call upon His name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Ooh, hallelujah! Holy is our God. Did you get up this morning and thanking Him for who He is? That He is a holy God. He is a God that cares about you. He is a God that has saved the world, that has given a way of salvation. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We serve a God that is mighty. And people, you have a God in you that can do all things. All things. But he says prayer is number one. To pray to the Father. Lifting Him up and petitioning Him for church this morning. Petitioning Him for the souls of people. Petitioning Him that God, that the Holy Spirit would work upon the people and cleanse their hearts and cleanse their souls, that prayer would go forth. And let me tell you, the devil put before you all your grandkids that are not his, that don't want to serve God, are rebellious at this time. But let me tell you, that might be the outward figure, but that's not what's happening on the inside. And that's where we come in. We live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We serve Him and we look to Him and we know that our God is the one that can penetrate the heart of a man or a woman and go on the inside like never before. We can only see on the outside unless He takes the veil off of our physical eyes and we can see on the inside. So we need to continually pray and seek God. That should be number one. Because that was number one with the first church. Prayer. The 12 disciples, can you imagine? They walked, they talked with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, they slept with Jesus, all that for 3 years or so. And yet, He still says at this time, you 12, it's prayer first. Well, look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Remember when he told his two disciples that were with him, stay right here and I'm going to go over there and I'm going to pray. Because it was almost time for him to die upon the cross. And he went over there and he prayed, and when he came back, he was sleeping. Not that sleeping's wrong, but that wasn't the right time to sleep. He said there's a time to sleep and there's a time to be awake and there's a time of prayer. He kind of got on them a little bit. But Jesus even had to go and pray because he was in a physical flesh, but he was 100% God. He knew that what was coming on him. He knew what he had to do. Prayer changes our lives. Prayer changes our lives. The first thing I ask people when they'll come and say, you know, they're going through this hard time, whatever, all, you know, and there's something wrong with that. I mean, you know, I often ask them, have you been praying? Have you been praying? I'm not talking about praying the Mother Grubbs prayer. We all pray that. And but God likes a broken and contrite heart because that brings him close to him. But I'm talking about praying and seeking him no matter what. No matter if the walls are falling down, no matter if the storm is rising up, no matter if you're in the ship and the storm is there, that you're going to get up and you're going to set that time aside and you're going to look to God and say, Father, I don't know what's going on and I don't even understand it. But Father, I lift you up and I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. And you may get up and not feel any difference. But that's okay. You've touched the heart of your God. Prayer needs to be number one in our hearts and in our lives. Acts chapter 6. It says this. Prayer is mentioned first and is more important than preaching. Without a proper prayer life, there can be no proper ministry. Without a proper prayer life, there can be no proper ministry. That's important. We try to minister without proper praying. It doesn't work. It's of none effect. It doesn't penetrate the hearts of the people. But a proper prayer time, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, what is a proper prayer time? You know, is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? See, that's man trying to put a time. Okay? Take whatever time is necessary for you to bring, well, first of all, for you to worship him, to praise him and honor him, and the proper time for you to give your petitions to God. And then you end with praise and worship unto him again. Then you crack open your Bible and you read the scriptures. You might say, well, Pastor, do I read one chapter, two chapters, three chapters? Man will tell you to read whatever chapters. God didn't say that. God says to study the word, as it says in Timothy. And we're to study whatever it may be. Maybe two chapters you read and study. Might be three, might be four, might be five. You know, some days you have more time than other times. But always remember this. You read and study the Bible to get to know him. And to have the knowledge of the word of God in you. To keep us on the right track. We pray to touch our Father. So he can speak to us also. See, it's a relationship. It's like, it's just constant. You know, have you ever been in a relationship where only one person talked all the time? You probably ran from that. You're out of there. I'm gone. Think of that with you and God. Are you the only one talking? Or you let him speak through his word and through his spirit on the inside. Proper time. The proper prayer time. We need the power of God in our hearts and lives. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Okay, let me stop right here. If you have the Bibles that we give to everyone, you'll see where it says, at the end of that verse, presents the greatest weapon at the church's disposal, prayer. Peter had come in and they had arrested him, and he was in prison. Look at verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So, here he was, Peter, in prison, one on each side of him, one at the door to lead out into the other door, and there was a prison. So there was four of them. There was four on every watch to be with him, so that he could not escape, because Herod had heard that he was coming against, Peter was coming against everything that Herod was trying to do. Look at verse 6. And Herod would have brought him forth, and the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Let me stop right there. People, the first verse we read was that the church was praying for Peter without ceasing. That means they didn't stop. That doesn't mean all of them prayed all the time, but there was continuous praying for Peter. Might have been 5, 10, 15 people just continually praying for God to move, because they knew one of their leaders was in prison. And let me tell you, he wasn't in prison just to be there. He was in prison so Herod could kill him before everyone, to show that Peter's God was not big enough to protect him and destroy Christianity. And here God, here these people said, we need a touch from God. God, you need to do something. And they were praying and praying, saying, God, move. God, move. They didn't know what God would do. We know the end of the story. We didn't know what God, they didn't know. But they were praying, people. Look, I'm telling you, we're too busy. No amen, only yes, we are. We're too busy. And the devil likes that. The devil likes to keep you so busy that you don't have time to pray. You don't have time to seek God. You don't have time to do what God would want you to do as a Christian. The early church, they had to work. They had to do things, but they took time. They didn't have all these time killers of all these gadgets. And these gadgets are good, to a certain extent, electronics, but they can be a spiritual stealer of your time with your God. And we got to make sure that we put those things in proper place, that we don't let these things steal our time that we should only reserve towards our God, towards Him. You see, He's mighty, and He wants to move. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to petition. I'm not saying would God have saved Peter if they wouldn't have been praying? I don't know. But I know this, He did it. And I know He did it on behalf of the people that were humbling themselves, the early church, before their God and asking God to move. Because they knew tomorrow their brother would be dead. And they needed Him. But you know what's an amazing thing? It didn't say that Peter was fretting or anything. Because you can look at, I think it's in John, where it talks about where Jesus told Peter that he would be of old age. And Peter was young at this time. So he knew, Aaron, you're not going to have your day. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know you can look into, I forgot what chapter it is, but it says, it talks about Peter being of old age. Prophetic. The power of our God. And it says, and look at these scriptures. Oh, God, time is rolling. And behold, the angel, and we read that, verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast your garment about you and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought it was a vision. So here he's thinking, he's coming out, the chains have fallen off his feet and hands. These two guys on the side of him didn't wake up. they're sleeping. He passes one gate, the guy's sleeping, the next gate, it opens up automatically, they're sleeping. Something's wrong. The angel just takes them out, people. That's the power of your God. That's the New Testament church. We are a New Testament church. We don't live by the boundaries of the earth. We live by the boundaries of our Heavenly Father that can change the circumstances. My God, the chains fell off. Let me tell you, when you have an encounter with God, like this morning, the power of God here, let me tell you, the chains of addiction, the chains of evil fall off of God's people. And they're set free by the power and the presence of their God. That's the mighty God we serve, people. We're not limited by circumstances. We're only limited by how we pray or what we pray or who we have our faith in. But God is not limited by the things of the earth. Verse 9, and he went out and followed him. It was not that it was true that it was done by the angel, but thought or it was a vision. And they were past the first and the second ward. They came unto the armed gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. That means it automatically opened, people. That didn't happen. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 11. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of him. Some of you need a deliverance. Put your life in the hand of your God. And let me tell you, he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. Put your hand in his hand. Let him lead and guide you. Put your faith in the cross of Calvary. And let me tell you, the power of Almighty God will be there for you. There's no limits to what God can do. There's no limits to finances. God can take care of finances like he wants to, people. He can take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just do what God tells you to do. You know what you need to do. And let God be God. And he'll open up doors for you. You'll be richer than ever before because God needs money. God has limited himself for the church to run on the economy of money. Didn't have to be that way, but he's limited himself. Why he did it, I know one reason. Because when we give, he can bless us back. And he's so into blessing his people. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He's so into blessing his people that he loves to do it. You know, tithing came about in the Old Testament, even before the law came about. Told the people to tithe. Told the man to tithe, to give. And when we do that, as we give unto our Lord what is rightfully his, he blesses us back. Over in abundance. It's like the cup that overflows. You keep giving and you say, my God, gave more this year than ever before. And now I have more than ever before. Oh, that's the economy of our God. That's the economy of our God, people. He works in those ways so that we can give more to the kingdom of God. To see more souls saved. Because it takes money. You know, let everybody say money.
Money.
It's not evil. The love of money is. The love of it. The love of it.
Now, we ain't got no money, but we got enough to get money.
We ain't got no money. But God is going to bless as you are faithful to God.
Amen.
Amen. God will bless. God will bless. God bless. It says this. Verse 8. And when Peter was come to himself, he saw that I know the sure that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. Verse 12. When he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathering together praying. And I want to see, we know, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came, hearkened named Rhoda. When she knew the Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto him, "You are mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is an angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. They were speechless. Let me make God can do anything, people. I'm trying to raise your faith. It's an amazing. They will pray. Peter was already out of jail. God didn't tell him that he was out. The church was still praying. You ever thought of that? Peter got out by the angel miraculously. The church is still praying for him to be released and get out. And he comes and he knocks on the door. The damsel comes. She hears his voice. She goes back and tells them. They say something's wrong with you. That's only his spirit or something else. Then finally he knocks on the door again. And he comes in and here they are praying. And can you imagine the faith that rose up in that place? You want to know why the church was so strong back then? Because they saw the power of God like we've never seen before. I'm praying that God would show us his power to raise our faith, to believe for the miraculous. The miraculous. Not just the everyday mundane things, but the miraculous. That people would be drawn to this place because they're saying they know God. They've been with Jesus. They're praying. And look what God is doing. Can you imagine Peter? They open that door and Peter walks in and they're praying and they look up and they're going, "Oh my God." Probably some of them fell on the floor, slain in the spirit, the power of God upon them. But that's the power of God. Praise God. We need more. We need answers from God. We need God to miraculously deliver people. We need to see the power of God. We need to see the power of God. We need to see it with our eyes to build faith in here.
Amen.
We've seen so much doubt because it feels this, that we doubt in here and God can't move because it's faith that moves God. Let me make my point here. He said, if you have faith like what? A mustard seed. You ever saw a mustard seed? It is so tiny, you can barely see it. It's so small. That's all God says. If you say to that mountain, "Move," it shall move. Now, okay. God doesn't, unless there's a specific reason to tell that mountain to move, to get God to do something for whatever reason. What he was saying is there's nothing impossible with your God. All you need is a faith that I have to put my fingers together. Let's say faith. This is faith. Okay? You know, we think of more faith. Okay, faith. God says all the faith we need is about this much. My fingers are touching because it's the faith of a mustard seed. And it's so small, there's no light between my two fingers right here. You can't see anything because it's so small. That's all the faith we need to believe God for the miraculous. That's all. To see the power of our God. Man, they got up. My God. Look, I know they worship. They praise God. They said, "My Lord, look what you can do." That's the power of our God, people. That's the book of Acts. We're living in the book of Acts. Acts means the action of a church.
Yes.
Action of a church. And this should be power, anointing, and presence of God. Upon a place like never before. Amen. Oh, they, and look, no telling what else God did at that moment. No telling what else God did at that moment. That old song, "Through It All." You ever heard that song? "Through It All, Through It All. Through It All. Trust in Him. Through It All. Through It All. Fear not." It's only 11 o'clock, so don't worry. It's 11:36. Praise God. I have to stop right there. look, I want to build your faith to believe. God can do anything. Is that why? Mm-hmm. Stick to His word.